So we're here on Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, about 15 lines up from the bottom, V'hod Isnan. We started this yesterday, and we'll go over it today. V'hod Isnan, we have a mission in the Sefta Beitza. Ein Somchin Es Hakdera. If you have a pot and it's not exactly straight, it's sort of tipping over a little bit, so we need to give it a little bit more support to make sure that it's on top of the fire, it's suspended over the fire. We're not allowed to use a bakas, which is a log of wood, on yontif. And in other words, this log of wood has the status of mukta. V'chein bedelis, or let's say you have a door and it needs a little extra support, you're not allowed to use a log of wood for support. Now, the status of this bakas on yontif is that of heter. The reason for that is because we're allowed to cook on yontif. So if I need this log for feeding my campfire, then I designate it as such, and it's mutter on yontif. So if I throw this log into my fire, that's fine. But if I want to use this log for some other purpose, even though it's for heter, then it's asur. And that's what it says in the Mishnah in Beitza. So the Gemara asks the following question. How could this be? To be yontif, the status of this bekas on yontif is darvish malakta leheter, who you're allowed to use it for its designated purpose, namely to feed the fire. And yet, if you want to use it for some other purpose, you're not allowed to do so. Alma, we see from this that darvish malakta leheter, bein litzar gufo ubein litzar makomo, also that there's no heter tiltul in the case of a klisha malakto leheter. And our Mishnah here at the beginning of Perikol Kalim says that kol hakalim nitol b'shabbos, that any klisha malakto leheter is mutter on Shabbos, and even if it would be a klisha malakto leisa for that matter, it's mutter litzarek gufo. Maybe even litzarek makomo, according to Rava, but certainly litzarek gufo, it should be mutter. So why does the Mishnah in Beitza insist that there's an isa tiltul with regard to the bakas? Now, I have here a note that says, Nabuchav Zion, that if you look in Masechta Beitza, the Gemara has a different explanation as to why you can't move this bakas. And it's not based on mukta. It's based on a different principle, which is called lo nitnu etzim el hasaka. So what we have to see is how to make sense out of our sugya in light of the sugya in Beitza. So we'll get back to this, and I'll try to clarify this as we go along. But keep in mind that there's a principle in Masechta Beitza that's called lo nitnu etzim ela lahasaka. So we want to come back to that later on. In any event, just to summarize what we've seen, for those who came a little bit late, we have a Mishnah in Masechta Beitza with regard to bakas, which is a log of wood, and we're talking on yontif, which you usually take this log of wood and you place it into the fire, which you're allowed to do, but you're not allowed to use that log for other purposes, which is called litzar gufa. So the Gemara asks, but wait a minute, we're talking about a klisha malakta liheter. You're allowed to use it on yontif. Why can't you use it for any purpose? Our Mishnah is already established here in Masechta Shabbos that a klisha malakta liheter, you're allowed to use it, you're allowed to be metaltal litzar gufa. So the Gemara answers, hasam, my time, or the reason why, in the case of yontif, a bakas is asur betiltul, even though it's malakta leheter. Kevon de b'shabes dorash malakta leiserhu gzera yontif atu shabes. The Gemara says that we're afraid to allow you to use this bakas for anything that you absolutely need it for on yontif, namely for cooking, for feeding the fire, because if you're going to use it for other purposes, then people in their minds are going to think that if you have a davar shemalachto, which is on Yontif Malachal Leheter, you're allowed to move it, and they're going to jump to the conclusion that that same object, had it been Shabbos, it would be mutter to move it, just like it's a mutter on Yontif. In other words, they're not sharp enough, they're not intelligent enough to understand that there's a fundamental difference between Shabbos and Yontif. They're looking at this kli, in this case this eitz, it's really not a kli, we'll talk about that later, but this piece of wood, and they're thinking, well, the piece of wood, you're allowed to move it in order to be somechas hakdeira on Yontif, you're allowed to use it on Yontif in order to be somechas hadeles, then why not make draw the conclusion that you're allowed to use it in that way on Shabbos as well? What they're missing here is a fundamental point, and that is the log of wood has one status on Yontif, but a totally different status on Shabbos. On Yontif, it's melachta leheter because you're allowed to cook on Yontif, so I can use this log to feed my fire. But on Shabbos, I can't cook. So what purpose does this log have? It's eitzim avonu, which is muktzav achmas gufo. It's not a kli. It's not an ochel. So the Gemara now postulates that in the mind of the onlooker, of the spectator, he's going to make this analogy between Shabbos and Yontif, Yontif and Shabbos. So if on Yontif you allowed him to move it, Litzar Gufo, he thinks mistakenly that on Shabbos he's allowed to move it, Litzar Gufo. So therefore they went ahead and they prohibited using this Bekas on Yontif, despite the fact that on Yontif it's Dovash and Malach Teleheter. So the Gemara now asks the following question. V'chi tema, let's raise the following objection to what we just said. Now it's true that on Shabbos I have to grant you that premise that a bakas is malachto le'isa. We can't use firewood on Shabbos. But nevertheless, Shabbos gufe tishtere. I have a logical, a compelling reason to say that even on Shabbos we should allow to move this bakas for the sake of lismochas hakedera of sedelis. Because if you recall, Rabbi Osai, we said that a davar shemalach le'isur is mutar l'taltalo l'tzor gufo, and according to Rava, even l'tzorech makoma. So if I need this bakas on Shabbos in order to support something in the air, right, put it on top and balance it, that would be perfectly okay on Shabbos. So what do you tell me on Yontif? We're going to make a gzera, and we're going to prohibit using this pakas in such a way that even on Shabbos itself would be mutter. Do hadavar shemalach le'isur l'tzor gufo l'tzor makomo shari, we're matir on Shabbos itself to be metalto hadavar shemalach le'isur if it's l'tzor gufo or l'tzor makomo. So the Gemara says, you know what? That's not a valid question. Why? Hani mili, when do we allow tiltal of a davar shemalach le'isur? That's only hecha de'ika toras klialav. If it has the status of a kli, just it's designated for isur, we're allowed to use it. It's our gufa, it's our makoma. That's because it's yotza mechlal mukta, because of the shame kli, and it's nichlal the gzeras tiltal kalim, and the gzeras tiltal kalim had the built-in heter of Litzar Gufa, Litzar Makomo. But in the case of Muktzah, we're not dealing with an Issa Tiltal, we're dealing with an Issa Muktzah. As we said many times, the Issa Muktzah might be Doraisan, it's an Issa Heftzan, it asks any sort of Hanah, and so forth and so on. It's not just an Issa Tiltal. It's therefore, Hecha de Leka Toras Kli Olav, since this Bakas, this piece of wood, doesn't have a Torah's kli, it's only a piece of wood. Lo, it's not included in the Heter Tiltal. The Heter Tiltal only applies, as we said, to the Issa Tiltal, but it doesn't apply to Muktzah. And the difference is going to be, in the case of a kli, you could apply the Heter Tiltal for the Tzar Gufa, even in a kli Shemalach Issa. But in the case of Muktzah Mamish, like Eitzim Vavonim, there's no Heter Tiltal, the Tzar Gufa, the Tzar Makoma. So I cannot use Muktzah in the case of Muktzah Machmas Kufo, for example, of Eitzim Avonim, Filitzor Kufo, Litzor Makomo. So I'm also like, I decide that I need a doorstopper in the middle of Shabbos, right? It's after lunch, Shabbos day, and I want to take this stone and put it as a doorstopper. Am I allowed to do so? No, because that's Muktza Machmas Gufo. And Muktza Machmas Gufo is Asur even Litzar Gufo. Had I designated the stone on Erev Shabbos, then we have something to talk about. But on Shabbos itself, that I can't do. Now, if you take a look for a moment without losing the place, again, I need your help, guys, because it's a fast day, so I don't have the kochus now to tell you again where we're up to, so please put your finger on the place and don't take it off until I tell you. Okay, now I want to show you something here on Daf Kuf Chaf Hei Amid Beis. What happens on Daf Kuf Chaf Hei Amid Beis? We have a case of Even Al Pi HaChavis. And you'll see that on line 5. Again, line 5 in the old-fashioned Gemaras. Even Al Pi HaChavis. Okay, now, what's the purpose of this Even Al Pi HaChavis? So if you take a look at the Gemara is going to say that there are two possibilities as to why this Evan is on top of a barrel. One is that he deliberately placed it there in order to serve as a cover to his barrel. And the other is he didn't know where to put it down, so he put it down on top of the barrel. So we're now on Friday afternoon, Erev Shabbos. A man has a barrel of wine, let's say, and he takes a stone on Erev Shabbos and he places it down on the opening of the Chavos, on the top of the Chavos. And one man, the Yom of the Gemara, says that that Mishnah is addressing a case where he just wanted to place the Evan down somewhere. You know, maybe he didn't want to bend down to the ground to lift it up, so he put it on a higher place, he put it on top of a chavis. And another man, the armor, is going to say, no, he put it there deliberately to serve as a cover. He somehow lost the cover of his barrel, it went the way of all flesh, so instead he uses this big, large stone to cover his barrel. And the Gemara says that Afgemina is going to be whether or not this stone is mukta. And by the way, if it's muktzah, then the chavis itself becomes muktzah. Does anybody know why?
Basis.
Exactly, it becomes a basis l'dover asur. So Gemara says the following, that if he didn't know where to put down his stone, and he deliberately put it down on top of the Evan, and he has no intention, he had no idea that he would want to use it as a cover to his chavis, so it's not functioning as part of the kli, then it remains muktzah. And not only that, because he deliberately put it down on top of the chavis becomes a basis l'dover asur. You can't even move the chavis.
But this all happens.
Is this some sort of a magic trick?
No, this is driving me crazy. I feel like it's going to fall and he's... Sorry, just me.
Okay, then.
This all happened before Shabbos, this placement of stone?
Lock the door. Houdini.
Sorry, I
could please take a bow, you know.
No, I felt the feeling was gonna fall at any second.
Who was that?
The ghost of Ben.
Yeah, since you cloned yourself, I don't know what you did. You came in from one door out the other door. Alright. So I'm both saying. So again, if he deliberately placed the Evan on top of the Chavis
Before Shabbat.
But he has no intention of using that Evan, having the Evan serve as a cover to his Chavit.
Didn't he have the intention by putting it there? That just seems counterintuitive, no?
Well, again, he needed a high place, as I said before. He didn't want to lift to put it on the ground. It's too heavy for him. So
This barrel didn't have a lid to start with, right? It suddenly lost it for some reason.
Right, right.
He just happens to find a stone that fits nicely on top.
Right.
There's no intention. Well,
let's assume, again, we're not learning the sugya in all the details, but just to get, I just want to show you that there is a concept of an Evan, which is again, Evan represents the paradigm of Muktzah, where the Evan loses its status as Muktzah. And it all depends what he did with this Evan on Erev Shabbos. If he lowered it down, if he placed it down over a Chavis simply because he needed a place to place it down, then it remains mukta because it's not serving any function in terms of the chavis. It's not part of the kli. And moreover, not only does it retain its status as mukta, but it even germinates by contagion a status of mukta on the chavis itself, because the chavis becomes a basis l'mukta. However, if he put it down deliberately on Erev Shabbos over the chavis in order to function as a covering for his chavis, so that the fly shouldn't come inside and attack his wine, in such a case, he's allowed to move both the chavis and the stone. He can literally lift up the whole business, because now the chavis serves as what?
A lid.
As a lid, as a kli. So you can change the status of the chavis. But it's not so simple. I'll tell you why. Because the Evan itself is not really a kli. Even though he designates it for the purpose of a lid, it's not a kli. And now, how do I know it's not a kli? Because the Mishnah that we're referring to says, Evan al pi achavis, mata al tzida vehino felis, which means that you tip over the chavis until the Evan falls on the ground. That's called what? Who remembers the terminology for that? Tiltum minatzad. Excellent. Tiltum minatzad. Now, if the Gemara suggests, and that's going to be the opinion here of Rav Asi, the names are not important for us, that even in a case where he put the Evan down on top of the Chavis, nevertheless, and he did it for the purpose of what? That it should be a kisui kedera. Nevertheless, in order to move this chavis, you have to do tiltul min atzad. That apparently there still is some, I call it shirayim, something left to the original mukta.
This is like what
I don't know why yet. I'm just saying.
This is like what we had. The even compared to the chavit is ra'ui lechasot bei mana, like the rocks in the yard in. Who was at Rabba's house?
Right, Rabba Avira, that old Avira story back there.
His couch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you guys remember. Good memory. Thank you, Shmuel. I was impressed by the dirty couch there.
So again,
once he designates it as a cover, why is it any different than a cover that you put on top of a wine vat?
I don't know.
I want to drink the wine, I have to take the cover
sure.
off.
I'm not sure. And the truth is that is going to be a tremendous machlokas here between the Ramban and the Baal HaMor, but I don't know if we're ready for that now. But let me just.
You can knock it off because you need it. Even if it is a basis, why can't you knock it off because you need it?
It's not a basis. If
is this working? Okay. No, just all of a sudden.
It sort of
went blank.
Because you designated it as a cover. Then it doesn't become a basis.
That's the argument. Okay, if you, so then your question is still much more powerful than mine. Why couldn't you just take it off?
So again, Rav Moshe, I'm just pointing out to you, it's sort of like pointing you to an address that hopefully we'll come to. We're not ready for it yet, but the issue of designating a stone as a kli is not so simple. Let me just throw out one last idea here. The Gemara there is going to differentiate between the following two scenarios. One scenario, like for example, the Gemara has a discussion about a well, W-E-L-L. So you want to get the water out of the well. So to draw the water out of the well, you have a designated utensil, a certain kli. The Gemara says it's interesting. What they used to do was they would hollow out a, how do you say in English, a dlas,
A pumpkin,
excellent. Okay, and don't think of any holidays of the goyim. They would hollow out the pumpkin, and they would use the hollowed out pumpkin as a bucket, so to speak, to draw the water. And the Gemara says the problem was that the pumpkin was too light; it wasn't heavy enough to fall down. So they would put a stone inside this hollowed pumpkin. And the Gemara goes back and forth to try to analyze what the status of the stone is. Again, if the stone is mukta, then the pumpkin itself, the vessel, the bucket, becomes mukta. If, on the other hand, since he designated for purposes of a weight, to weigh down this pumpkin, this bucket, as I call it, then it becomes part of the kli, and not only are you allowed to move the pumpkin itself, you could even move the oven. So we're going from one extreme to the other. from buses, which means it's an all-encompassing Isser that even the pumpkin gets included in the Isser, to the other extreme that even the Evan becomes Mutter. So the Gemara there says it depends on whether he ties down the Evan to the pumpkin in a kesher, in a very strong knot. You know, he has a rope. So the Gemara basically says that as long as the Evan is sort of like a free agent, it's not tied down to the pumpkin, to the bucket, it's floating in midair. So then what's going to happen is that when you lower down this bucket, the Evan is going to probably get lost on the way somewhere. I mean, you can always retrieve it, but in the meantime, so it's not considered permanently affixed to the kli. And therefore, when I mentioned to you before that even if he puts the Evan down on the top of the Chavis in order to serve as a Kisui, the Heter here is going to be Tiltul Min Atzad, and as we said, obviously it means that there's some vestige of Muktzah here. That's because the Evan was never tied down. Notice they used to have a cover lid that actually fit the cover of the Chavis. I mean, even today, you could imagine that certain, like you have these, I told you about these lock and locks, you know, all different kinds of inventions that they have on the market where the lid is almost permanently affixed. Obviously, it's not permanently affixed because otherwise it doesn't help me. I won't be able to open it. But it's affixed in a way that it's not going to go flying in the air. And in that case, that's certainly part of the kli. But in the case of the Evan, if it's not affixed in a permanent way to the kli itself, to the bucket or to the barrel, then although I've designated for a certain function, I might not have successfully removed the status of the Evan as Muktzah. Again, so it's going to be this twilight zone where it is Muktzah, it's not Muktzah, we're going to allow Tiltul Min Atzad, we're not going to allow Tiltul Biyadayim. So I'm just telling you that there's more to come about this issue. So here, getting back to our sugya, and we spoke here about the case of a bekas. Now I want to use this bekas for purposes of feeding my fire on Yontif. Or for example, on Shabbos, I want to use it lismok ba es hakedero, which is l'tzar gufo. It's not at all a simple matter. Why? Because at the end of the day, I'm not sure that this bekas could gain the status of a kli. In the case of the Evan, if let's say you tied it down to a kli, it becomes part of the kli. But in the case of the bekas, even if I designated it, let's say on Erev Yontif, for purpose of using it to feed my fire, it doesn't mean that it all of a sudden becomes a kli. A kli means that it by its very nature, its very structure, it has it's a receptacle, it has what's called a kibul in it, a base kibul, that gives it the status of a kli. But if it's just a flat piece of wood, or a stone for that matter, which I could get, again, I could use it in many different ways, and I could even designate it for that use before Shabbos, before Yontif, it still doesn't generate a shame kli. It still remains an eitz or an evan. And although on Yontif I'm going to allow you to use the bekas as campfire, as firewood, but I'm not going to let you use it for any other purpose insofar as it has the status of an eitz, and an eitz is muktzah. Now again, it could very well be that on Yontif itself we should really, mi'ikra din, according to the strict letter of law, we should allow you to use the bekas lismok basak dera. Because since you're allowed to use it for firewood, you could therefore call it a kli shemalachta leheter, or at least a davar shemalachta leheter. But in the same scenario on Shabbos, you would not be allowed to move the bekas, and the reason for that is because it doesn't have a Torah's kli, and therefore it has the status of muktzah. So you're going to tell me, wait a minute, On Shabbos, I want to use this bekas, lismok basak dera, and a kli shemalachta leheter is mutter l'taltal l'tzar gufo. Now I'm using it l'tzar gufo. The answer is, that's only if you have a Torah's kli. Then we were matir the iser tiltul kalim for the sake of l'tzar gufo. And we had various definitions of how that works. But if it's not a kli at all, it's just a piece of eitz, then it's muktzah machmas gufo. Muktzah machmas gufo, the real McCoy muktzah, is aser b'tiltul even litzarek gufa. And that's why the Gemara says we can justify this gzera of yontif atu Shabbos. On yontif we call it davar shemalato leheter. On Shabbos is a davar shemalato leiser. On yontif I could certainly move the bekas litzarek gufo, but on Shabbos I'm not allowed to move the bekas litzarek gufo because on Shabbos it has the status not of a davar shemalato leiser, but moreover of muktzah. So again, if I was writing on the blackboard, I would write the following distinction, you know, with the line in the middle. There's something called a klisha malakha le'isur, and then there's something called muktzah. And the difference is going to be whether you're allowed to move it litzarek gufo. If it's a klisha malakha le'isur, yes, you're allowed to move it litzarek gufo. If it's muktzah, you're not allowed to move it litzarek gufo. What's the status of bekas? Bekas is not a klisha malakha le'isur, as we thought, but rather it's muktzah. And therefore, hence, you're not allowed to move it with Tzor Kufo. On Yontif, on the other hand, it becomes a Dora Malakto Leheter. And if not for the Gzera of Gazrina Yontif Atu Shabbos, then we would allow you to use the Bekas on Yontif for the sake of Lismoch Ba Es HaKedera, because it's a Dora Shemalakto Leheter. That's what we have so far.
Reverso?
Yes.
When the word asaka is used, is that only for heating purposes or also for cooking?
Both. Uh-huh. Yeah, literally it means for heating, but it's allowed for cooking as well. Mm-hmm. Now the Gemara wants to analyze this principle called Gazrinan Yontif Atu Shabbos. You know, Yontif comes three times a year, and to say that for those three times a year we have to worry that he's, you know, he's going to confuse that with Shabbos. Umigas Rinon, I have a Mishnah that's going to prove that there is no such principle that we should aser everything on Yontif that would have been mutter on Yontif because on Shabbos it would be aser. Basnan, the Mishnah says in Beitza, Mashilin Peros Derech Aruba B'Yontif. So first we'll talk about an aruba, and then we'll talk about mashilin. The word aruba is what we call a skylight. It means up on the roof they had an opening. And if, let's say, you had certain things that you put on the roof, you remember we discussed tzimukim, or what we call it, the grogros for tzimukim. You remember we put it up on the roof. So now when the grogros or tzimukim are ripe, what do you do with them? You obviously want to bring it back into your house. You don't want to leave it out there on the roof. So that's called mashilin. Mashilin means you could lower it through this skylight, through this aruba, from the roof down to the house, down to your main floor of your house. And again, as we said before, you don't want to leave these fruits up on the roof because when the rains come, it's not going to be very healthy for the fruits. Avalo b'Shabbos, but this same action of mashilin, which is sort of like to lower something down, I don't know, maybe you have done a better translation of the word mashilin. I say to lower it down.
Is it the same thing?
Yeah, it's like you remember the pulley system, so to speak. You know, sometimes you have things on. It's very interesting because on Sukkos, if you look in certain buildings, you'll see that they have a rope up on the top floor in order to get the food down to the sukkah. Because imagine every time you need something from the fridge, you have to go up five flights, you know, in order to get it. And you can't use the elevator because there's no Shabbos elevator. So what do you do on sukkahs? So they have this kind of mashilin situation. In any event, so he's not allowed to do this on Shabbos. Why? Avalobis Shabbos. Shabbos is very chamur. Okay, now here at this point we have to introduce a concept called tircha. Tircha. And what's tircha? Tircha means what? Effort, right. Toil. Sweating it out, toil. We want Shabbos to be a day of rest. So the Chachamim, in order to guarantee that it's a day of rest, they prohibited certain activities that require an exertion of energy. That's called tircha. Again, if the tircha is for the purpose of Shabbos, that's something else. But if it's not for the purpose of Shabbos, then they prohibited it under the law of Tircha. Now, here's a difference between Yontif and Shabbos. On Yontif, they allowed certain kinds of tircha. I'm not saying blanket all kinds of tircha, but they were a little bit more liberal and loose about it in terms of the Iser tircha. So they were matir tircha, in this case of Mashilin, on Yadav, but on Shabbos it's awesome. Now the question is as follows. When the Rabbanon pronounced or enacted this Iser tircha on Shabbos, wouldn't they have included Yontif within? Because again, we're always afraid that if we allow you to do something on Yontif, you'll come to the conclusion that you're not allowed to do it. I'm sorry, that if we allow you to do it on Yontif, you'll come to the mistaken conclusion that you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Well, what did I say? I'm sorry. That you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, correct? In other words, whenever the Rabbanim make a gzera, it's very hard for them to differentiate between Yontif and Shabbos. Therefore, for example, in the case of Bekas, which we said on Yontif is a Dorosh Malachta Lehetu, and therefore you're allowed to be metaltal at Lismok Wasakadera, but we're going to have to institute the same gzera that we have on Shabbos, namely the gzera of Muktzah, and apply it to Yontif. Well, if that be the case, then if Mashilin is a gzeras chachamim of an Issa Tircha on Shabbos, they should include in that gzera even Yontif. Because when it comes to gzeros, we don't differentiate between Yontif and Shabbos. So the Gemara says, but on the other hand, I have a contradiction from a different Mishnah. Umi lo gazrina, and I'll prove to you from a Mishnah in Beitza. The previous Mishnah was on Daf Lamed Hey that we discussed about Mashilin. Now we fast forward to the Mishnah Daf Lamed Vav, and there it says Ein Ben Yontif LeShabbos Ela Ochel Nefesh Belvad, meaning we have to equate Shabbos and Yontif straight across the board with only one exception, that on Yontif you're allowed to cook and on Shabbos you're not allowed to cook. That's the only exception, meaning the Rabbanan couldn't make a blanket Easter prohibiting cooking on Yontif because that would interfere and undermine the Simchas Yontif. So that they left out of the scope. But everything else was left in, which means that all Xeris Chachamim that apply to Shabbos now apply to Yontif as well, because there's no difference between Yontif and Shabbos. So now we're going to have to figure out, what do we do with this Mishnah of Mashilin, where the Mishnah establishes that on Yontif you're allowed to do this whole Tircha of Mashilin, but on Shabbos you're not allowed to do so. After all, we just finished saying in the Mishnah, Ein Bein Shabbos LeYontif Ela Ochel Nefesh Bilvad. So at this point, the Gemara is going to endeavor to create a machlokes tanoim. And one Mishnah reflects one Tana, and the other Mishnah reflects an opinion of a different Tana. Or Rabbi Yosef Lokasha, Ha Rabbi Eliezer, Ha Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that we have an absolute blanket equation between Shabbos and Yontif, barring the exception of Ochel Nefesh. Whereas Rabbi Yoshua understands that there are other differentiations between Shabbos and Yontif. For example, Tircha, we're going to allow you to do a Tircha on Yontif, which we would not allow you to do on Shabbos. Now, what is this Tircha? And what is the subject of the debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua? It's the case of hauling up an animal that fell into a ditch. That's considered a great effort, a great Tircha. But on the other hand, if he doesn't save his animal, the animal will die. And that means you'll suffer a financial loss. There's also an issue here of Tzar Bali Chayim because the animal is on the bottom of this ditch. So Tisanya, we have a brice that says, Oso Vies Pino. In other words, an animal and its child, which he cannot shecht on the same day, Shenafu Labar. So again, if we're going to allow you to slaughter one of these animals, it's going to be one and not the other. And now he wants to bring them up through a great deal of tircha from the bar, where they fell into a bar. Is Rabbi Eliezer Omer Malas HaRishon? Take one by one. So you bring up one animal, almanas l'shochto, because for the sake of shechita, for sure you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to do any malacha for the sake of shechita on yontif. V'shochto. But on condition that he's not just fooling us and pulling the wool off his eyes, he has to go ahead and shech the animal. And then hasheni, what do we do with the second animal that's all the way down on the bottom of the bar? And not only that, you can say, well, I'll dig down into the Baal HaBor and hole him up because I have to shecht it, and I'm allowed to shecht on yontif, but I can't shecht this animal. Why? Because I already shechted its mother. You can't shecht these two animals, mother and son, on the same day. So now I put myself into an impossible situation. So it says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Osalo Parnosa Bimkomo Bishvil Shol Yomus. We cannot allow you to haul up the animal from the bottom of the bar because it's too heavy duty of an activity. It's tircha. But the best we can allow you is to bring food and send it down to the bar, and hopefully the animal will last. It will survive until after yontif, and then you'll haul it up from the bottom of the bar. Okay.
Robert, yes. Similar scenario in which you put a karit and the animal can climb up it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the question there was Ein Kli Nital El Litzach Dovra Nital, and since on Shabbos of Behemoth and Dovra Shein Nital, how are you allowed to move it for the sake of a Dovra Nital? And we said that we allowed it because of Tzar Bali Chaim. So the question is, here also, should we allow Tircha Mishum Tzar Bali Chaim? So I don't know, I'm a little confused here, because Rabbi Eliezer says we should feed the animal. What happens if we can't feed the animals? I don't know. Maybe then the law changes and we would allow the tircha for the sake of Tzar Bali Chaim. I don't know. But barring, you know, if all things are equal, then we're not going to allow him to do this tircha and haul up the animal from the bottom of the ditch. We're going to force him and require of him to feed the animal where it's located. And then it says, Bishvil Shlo Yomus. So I have a suspicion that the animal will survive it. I don't know. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Malas Arishon Almanas L'Shochto, V'Eino Shochto. He's allowed to do a kind of harama. Harama means, you know, a trick. You know, you say one thing, but you really mean something else. So you say that, you know, I'm going to shecht the animal, but really you're not going to shecht it. You're pulling the wool over our eyes. Umarim, and then he fools the, so to speak, the spectator, and he tells them that, you know what, he decided that he doesn't want to shecht this animal. The other animal, let's call it the mother animal, is a better candidate. So then umala es hasheni, and then he can bring up the second animal. Now, which one does he have to? He's going to have to shecht one of the two animals. So rotza zeshok, rotza zeshok. In other words, he can choose which animal that he wants to shecht. In other words, Rabbi Yeshua is much more laid back about tircha, in this case of yontif, and he's going to allow you to do this tircha of holding up both animals by playing a trick and saying, well, I'm going to shecht the first one. No, I decided I want to shecht the second one. So he's being matir tircha on yontif because he doesn't want the owner of the animal to suffer this financial loss of the animal dying. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, is not going to allow tircha on yontif. So therefore, let's go back to our original contradiction, and now we can resolve it. There was one mission that said that mashilin b'yontif, that even though mashilin is also on Shabbos, mishum tircha on yontif, it's mutter, that would represent the shita of Rabbi Yeshua, who says that you're allowed to haul up an animal from the bottom of the bar on Shabbos, on yontif, excuse me. But the second Mishnah that we quoted here that said Ein Bein Shabbos LiYontif, that Shabbos and Yontif all are, that's the ultimate equalizer as far as Gzeros, that represents the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer holds that you're not allowed to haul up the animal from the bottom of what? The bottom of the bar. Yeah, just one second. I just want to say one thing. The Gemara is not focus now on one important variable. Keep in mind that Rabbi Eliezer, he wasn't prohibiting tircha in an out, you know, what word can I use, in an absolute way. He was only saying, I have a better way of solving this problem. You want to keep the animal alive, there's no need to go through this entire process of hauling up the animal, you know, call the posses, you know, get the sheriff to, you know, to round up 10 people, you know, until you can haul up this animal. It's a major thing. All you have to do is feed the animal without getting into the tircha. But the Gemara seems to assume that Rabbi Eliezer is aware of the fact that the feeding of the animal may or may not be successful in saving the animal. It's not a done deal. And nevertheless, he's not going to allow you to haul up the animal from the bottom of the bar because he is the stickler on the Issur Tircha. And in that sense, the Issur Tircha of Shabbos applies to Yontif. Now, again, it's a little confusing to me. I have two possibilities. Either Rabbi Eliezer is saying that the Issur Tircha of Shabbos generates an Issur Tircha on Yontif because we equate the two, or he's saying that Yontif itself it deserves an Issur Tircha. I'm inclined to reject the second possibility. And the reason for that is because in the case, just 1 second to say that, right, so the Gemara is now saying that Mashilin is the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua. If Mashilin, the Mishnah Mashilin that allows you on Yontif to do Mashilin, that's authored by Rabbi Yeshua because he allows Tircha. Yeah, but again, he's only allowing Tircha for the sake of saving the animal. Just 1 second. You see, there's a piece of the pie that's missing over here, a piece of the puzzle. Because the Gemara is now matching up the Mishnah of Mashil with Rabbi Yeshua and the Mishnah of Ein Bein with Rabbi Eliezer. But the truth is that Rabbi Yeshua allows the tircha of hauling up the animal from the bar only for the sake of saving the animal's life and preventing a hefsed moment. But in the case of Mashilin, I don't know. Is that a hefsed moment? Okay, I'm sorry. I missed the point. That's the piece I was missing. Mashilin is also a hefsed moment. Because as long as he leaves the fruits on the roof, he has a problem of what? Of the rains coming down. When the rains come down, they ruin the fruit. So there's a very urgent push now to allow him to somehow bring the fruits down from the roof so he doesn't suffer a hefsed. Rabbi Yeshua is going to be liberal about that. He's going to say that for the sake of preventing hefsed mamon, we're going to allow you to do a tircha on Yontif. Right, now let's go to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, again, somehow the Gemara is sort of oblivious to the fact that Rabbi Eliezer says just feed the animal and keep it alive. Okay, leave that out. That's classified information. So the animal is going to die. Nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer insists you can't haul up the animal. We're not interested in hefsed mamon. There's an issur tircha on Yontif, and therefore ain't bein Shabbos liyontif ella ochel nefesh bilvad. Yeah, Ben, what do you want to say?
I'm saying hefsed mamon when we get in the world of kaling was not really such an issue. We're not going to worry about what's going on the weekday. We're not going to remove a kli from the sun into the shade. Hefsed mamon just in terms of kaling. Now we're talking about behemoth, which is a whole different category. But hefsed mamon is also like kind of a weekday thought. I mean, why are we? Hefsed mamon is nonetheless.
Yeah, it's a brilliant question. You're saying, in the case of Tiltul, we were not going to allow it from Chamal itself.
For a kli.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know
if Tiltul is more Chamor than Tircha will allow it for the sake of Hefsed mamon, but Tiltul we're not going to allow for the sake of Hefsed mamon Michamal itself. Yeah, what do you say, Shmuel?
Because it's for Simchat Yom Tov, he's going to shech this animal. So let's say maybe that's the only meat he has. So that's really going to make his Yom Tov, so let him take it out.
Well, Rabbi Yeshua says that he's allowed to take up both animals. He's not allowed to shech both animals. So one of them is just pure Hefsed mamon. So Ben is right in saying that why can't we be Mata Tiltul in the case of Chamal itself, a Hefsed mamon? Well, we're going to say that the cow is worth more than a kli. I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. I don't know. I'm tempted to think that Michamal Itzel doesn't mean exactly what we think it means. Michamal Itzel means that it's Litzorach HaKli, but not Litzorach Shabbos. What would be in a case where it would be a Hefsed Mamon, I don't know. Would you be allowed to move a kli shavalato le'isur, for example, for the sake of hefsed mamon? Like, let's ask a different question. But again, I don't want to get off on a tangent. Are you allowed to move mutzah for a chola? And if you are, which I assume you are, then maybe hefsed mamon has the same din, the same status as a chola. In other words, what constitutes a pressing need for which Chazal allowed and loosened the iser of gzeirah d'rabbanan? So in the case of a chola, that's a perfect case where, because of the urgency of the situation, again, we're not talking about someone who's in danger of his life, then you're allowed to do everything, but he's a chola, he's in bed with fever, and for the sake of a chola, we're going to allow, for example, the Gemara has the strange case in Erevin where the chola has trouble sleeping, and the Gemara wants to know if you're allowed to play music on Shabbos in order to soothe and calm him down so he could fall asleep. And believe it or not, the Gemara says you're allowed to. Again, I don't know, I'm not looking into Shulchan Aruch now, I'm just telling you in theory. Or, for example, you're allowed to tell a guy to do a malacha on behalf of the chola. That's called Amir Liakul. But that's only a shvus, only a drabbanan. And the drabbanan step aside for the sake of a chola. The Gemara has also a case of Mafis Mursa, where he's got a boil and the pus is pressing against. He's allowed to prick it in order to get the pus out because he's a chola. And other cases, so I assume Mukta also you could move for the sake of a chola. Then you have to ask yourself, what about Hefsed Mamon? You see, I suspect that maybe the answer to your question is the following, that Tircha is a whole different category than Tiltul Mukta. Let me just think about this. In the case of Tiltul Mukta, we're dealing with not a kiyum mitzvah of shvisa of menucha Shabbos, but in mukta we're dealing with a possibility of violating an iser malacha. You follow me? Atu tiltala mishum otzah. So there's a possibility that you might take this kli and ultimately violate a malacha with this kli, or take it out of reshusa. In the case of tircha, we're not afraid of a malacha per se. I think tircha is a category of shvisa. There's a mitzvah saseh to rest on Shabbos, to rest on Yom Tov. And the tircha yisera, this heavy duty kind of work, undermines his state of tircha. For the sake of hefsed mamon, maybe we would allow it. But I don't think we would allow tiltul muksa. Now, tiltul kalim is a little bit less severe than tiltul muksa, so maybe for hefsed mamon, but what's mechamal itzel? I'm thinking that chamal itzel maybe doesn't mean that you're going to lose the kli. Maybe the kli will be
depreciating value.
Depreciating, right? I mean, it'll be somewhat affected, but not in a great sort of way. I don't know. Or alternatively, tiltul muktza and tiltul kalim and tiltul muktza were equated. We saw such a thing. The Beis Yosef has tiltul kalim under his six categories of muktzah. So therefore it could be possible that if in muktzah we're not going to allow moving muktzah for hefsed, then maybe tiltul kalim as well. But your question is an excellent question. I didn't think of it. It has to be addressed. So the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that this machlokus, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, about hauling up an animal from the bottom of the ditch is the same machlokus about tircha on Yontif, which is a steer between two Mishnayos in base, as we saw. Dilma, Adkan lo kom Rabbi Eliezer Hossam. Why did Rabbi Eliezer say you're not allowed to lift up the animal from the bottom of the bar? Again, the first animal is okay because you're going to check it, but not the second one. Ela, the Efshal Lefarnasa, because Rabbi Eliezer says you can throw food down to the bottom of the ditch and the animal will survive. So it's not called Hefsed Mamon. And therefore we go back to the Issur Tircha. Amal Hecha Delo Efshel Lefarnesa. But if we knew up front, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that he's going to lose this animal, it's going to die, and we can't feed it. And if we don't go through the Tircha of lifting up the animal from the bottom of the bar it's going to die, lo, then we never heard that Rabbi Eliezer would ask it in such a case. So therefore, in the case of the fruits that you have on the top of the roof, and you want to now send them down through this process of mashilim, you want to lower it down through the roof, then in such a case, since it's going to be a hefsed, therefore you have no other alternative. How do you prevent the loss of the fruits unless you do this tircha? And therefore, you probably Lesser would say that you're allowed to do this tircha. And that basically undermines the Gemara's matching over here. The Gemara wanted to say that the Mishnah of Ein Bein, which prohibits tircha even on Yontif, is a reflection of the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua, whereas the Mishnah of Mashilin, I'm sorry, the Mishnah of Ein Bein is a reflection of the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. But that's not really true, because even Rabbi Eliezer would allow tircha if there was indeed a serious hefsed mamon. Inami, the Gemara says, Ad kan lo kom Rabbi Yeshua asam, when does Rabbi Yeshua allow you to save the animal, the efshar ba'arama? Because, you know, he has this method by which you say, oh, you want to take up the first animal for shkita, then you change your mind, you want to shuck the second animal. Amal hecha delo efshar ba'arama, if there's no possibility of making this kind of a trick, lo, even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that there's an iser of tircha on yontif. And therefore, the Mishnah of Mashilin and the Mishnah of Ein Bein still remain two Mishnayos that are contradicting one another, because the Ein Bein could be Rabbi Yeshua, and that's because Rabbi Yeshua accepts fundamentally the Isur Tircha. He only allows the Isur Tircha in the case of Harama. And by the way, the fact that he allows tircha because of aroma, that itself proves what I said to you before, that tircha is a different kind of category. We're not going to allow violation of an Easter by using aroma, unless that violation itself lends itself to the aroma. Meaning, you're telling me I'm doing a tircha. Well, why is it a tircha if I want to shech the animal on Yom Tov? I'm allowed to do all the tircha in the world to shech the animal. But in any event, the Mishnah of Ein Bein would really fit in both to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and the Mishnah in Mashilin could fit into both. Because what are you going to tell me, that the Mishnah in Mashilin reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua? That's not so. Rabbi Yeshua is based on Harama. Or, for example, you're going to tell me that the Mishnah of Ein Bein represents the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer? That's not true either. Rabbi Eliezer only allows you, only prohibits you from this tircha because you have another eitzah, you have another way of being mefarnes the animal. Elomer a popolo kasha, habeit shamay v'habeit hillel. The Mishnah of Mashilin, which accepts a heter on Yontif, even though on Shabbos would be also, that's Beis Hillel. But the Mishnah of Ein Bein, which equates Shabbos and Yontif, that reflects the Shita Beit Shammai. This not because we have a Mishnah, Beit Shammai Omrim, here we're going to turn to Kufchav Daladim and Beis, Ein Motziin, Es HaKoton, Ves HaLulav, Ves Sefer Torah, L'Rishus HaRabin, we're talking on Yontif, because none of these are called Ochel Nefesh. That's because Beis Hillel have the principle called Mitoch. Does everybody here in this room know what Mitoch is?
Mitoch Shehutra.
Excellent. Mitoch Shehutra Litzorch Ochel Nefesh Hutra Nami Shelo Litzorch Ochel Nefesh. So the word Mitoch is a shortened form, like we once said, Migu the Skatzoil Ben Ashmas Skatzoil Kulyama. So Mitoch is a shortened form of a very long principle that says that since the Torah allowed you to do Malacha on Yom Tov for the sake of eating, then you're allowed to do Malacha even when it's not eating. Oh, so that's the Shita Beisila. They still have the principle Mitoch. So therefore, the Malacha of Hotzah, which is allowed on Yontif for the sake of food. So let's say, for example, you're in a different rishus than I am. I can go, and you have the food and I don't. I can carry the food from your house to my house, and there's no violation of otzah. That's going to everyone. That's because it's a Melechus Ochel Nefesh. Comes along Basil and say, any Hotzah now is Mutter. As long as that Hotzah is Litzorech, even though it's not Litzorech Ochel Nefesh, for example, you have to bring a child from one Rishus to the other. You need to bring your Lulav, or your Sefer Torah from one Rishus to the other. Or four Amos in Rishus Aravim. All this is going to be Mutter under the law of Mitoch. Okay, now how does all this plug into the stira between Mashilin and Ein Ben? So we're going to say the following. The mission of Mashilin, which allows Tircha, when you want to take the payrolls from the roof and bring them down to the house, that is Mutter according to Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel have the principle of Mitoch. Whereas according to Beit Shammai, who don't have, they never accepted Mitoch, so the only thing you're allowed to do on Yom Tov is Mamish Ochel Nefesh. Now, if he has no intention, assuming he has no intention of eating those fruits on Yom Tov, right, because let's say he has a massive amount of fruits, or these fruits are not Yom Tov Tikka fruits, whatever, he doesn't need them on his table, so therefore it's not Melechus Ochel Nefesh. And there's no Heter of Ochel Nefesh, Beit Shammai prohibits it. Mashen came according to Beis Hillel, who expand the scope of the Heter Ochel Nefesh to include any Tzorach of Shabbos, or I should say Tzorach of Yom Tov, I'm sorry I mentioned Shabbos, is therefore, we're not going to allow you, I'm sorry, according to Beis Hillel, who expands the scope of the Heter of Ochel Nefesh, we can allow you to do this Mashilin. So now let's go over to the mission of Ein Ben. The mission of Ein Ben says that the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is Ochel Nefesh. That reflects the Shita Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai would hold that other than Ochel Nefesh, all the Surim and all the Malachas of Shabbos apply to Yom Tov as well. So he adds a note over here which I wanted to share with you, and he says, Kevin Shaldas Beit Shammai Lo Hutra Hotzah Shalol Tzorech Ochel Nefesh is Kach Yesh Ligzar Isur Gam Al Tiltel Shalol Tzorech Ochel Nefesh. What's this Kach Yesh Ligzar Isur Gam Al Tiltel Shalol Tzorech Ochel Nefesh? Wow, this is fascinating. The Gemara is assuming now that Tiltel is an Isur on Yom Tov, like a malacha, meaning the nature of an Isur Tiltel can never exceed in its severity beyond that of a malacha. And if Beit Shammai says the malacha is mutter, then certainly muksa would be mutter, but Tiltel should be mutter. But in a case where there's no Ochel Nefesh, then Tiltel, insofar as it has the same status as a malacha, because it's an Isur Yom Tov, that Tiltel becomes Asur if it's Shalol Litzok Ochel Nefesh. Unless maybe the Gemara means something totally different. Maybe the Gemara is saying that according to Beis Hillel, according to Beit Shammai, since there's an Isur of Shalol Litzorech on Yom Tov, we have to make Gzeiros on Yom Tov. We have to be very strict about your behavior on Yom Tov, because you might end up with some sort of a malacha which is not Litzorech Ochel Nefesh. But according to Beis Hillel, that the Heter of Ochel Nefesh is a carte blanche Heter that includes even Shalol Litzorech Ochel Nefesh, so we don't have to make these Gzeiros. The Gemara is not happy with this answer as well. Amar d'shamet lo lebeit Shammai hotzah. In the case of a malacha, then Beit Shammai get very strict and they prohibit you to do this hotzah if it's not for the specific purpose of Ochel Nefesh. If it's motzi and a sakad and a salul and a sefer Torah. But tiltul, that's not a malacha. So therefore, when you want to send down these payrolls from the roof, and you're only violating an Isur Tiltel, which we call the Tircha, Mishametle, we never heard that Beit Shammai would get strict about that. Beit Shammai was strict about malachas. And when are you allowed to do a malacha? That's only with Tzorach Ochel Nefesh, and don't even dream about any other Tzorach. But in the case of Mashilin and Saperos, there, the maximum you're talking about an Isur Tiltel, that's not a malacha. And Beit Shammai would certainly be free to maintain that you're allowed to be mashal asaperos. So the Gemara says, I have a secret to tell you. And this next line in the Gemara is world famous in Mukta. And since we're learning Mukta, for us it's got to be world famous. And the Gemara now is going to take Mukta and tiltel and put it back into the gether of malacha. Why? The tiltel gufe lav mishum otzahi. This is a rhetorical question. And why did the Chachamim make this gzera of tiltel kelim? Isn't it because of otzah? They're afraid if you're going to move around kelim the whole Shabbos, then you're going to tend to, you might be tempted to take it out into the other rishus and violate the iser of otzah. In other words, the gedder, the definition of tiltel mukza is the same identical definition as that of the iser otzah. Because tiltel is like the beginning of otzah. We're always afraid you're going to take it outside. And therefore, according to Beit Shammai, that a malach on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, excuse me, is only permitted for the sake of Achol Nefesh, then so too in the case of tiltel, we can only allow tiltel for the sake of Achol Nefesh. But if it's a tiltel shelo letzorech Achol Nefesh, then it's also. Hence, Ein Bein Shabbos liYom Tov reflects the shita of Beit Shammai, because chutz mi Achol Nefesh bilvad, there's no other difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Masha'enke koyt Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel hold that there's a whole array of malachas and situations in which you're allowed to do malach on Yom Tov, even if it's shalom itself, because of the principle of mitoch. If that be the case, then you don't have to be so machbir with the isa tiltul and say, you know, that we're not gonna allow any sort of difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. We do allow a lot of differences between Shabbos and Yom Tov. There are major differences between Shabbos and Yom Tov, and it's not just limited to malachas ochel nefesh. What time is it now? All right, so let's just make a note of where we're up to in the Gemara on the top of Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. Tomorrow is not Purim here, so I'm assuming we're getting together tomorrow. If I'm wrong, please let me know. But I'm going to be here, believe me. But what I do want to do, just for 2 minutes of your time here, is to show you where we're up to in Hari Kedem, Simon Sadi Gimel, Reish Nun Gimel, and in the first paragraph he quotes this entire sugya that we studied today. And the Gemara says that on Shabbos this Bekas is a klisha malakta le'isur. It's the Gemara thought that therefore we should be allowed to move it. It's our gufo lismo bosa container. The Gemara rejects that and says that since the Bekas doesn't have a Torah's kli, it's muktzah mamish, it's muktzah machmas gufa. And in the second paragraph he says, on Yom Tov also the bekas is not a kli. It doesn't all of a sudden become a kli, because on Yom Tov you can use it as firewood, but nevertheless it's malakta leheter, because you're allowed to use logs and feed your fire on Yom Tov. And therefore it doesn't have the status of muktzah. It has the same status, shall we say, of peros v'ochlin, right? Ochlin is not a kli, but yet it's not muktzah. So to a bakas is like ochlin, it's not muktzah, even though it's not a kli. And therefore the only reason why I would prohibit smicha with a bakas on Yom Tov is only because of the gzera otu Shabbos. That since in Shabbos we're talking about muktzah machmas gufo, therefore there'd be no way you could use the bakas, even lismach basa kandera litzor gufo, insofar as it's lacking a shame kli. And the Gemara is going back and forth now to see and analyze, do we have this concept of gazrinan Yom Tov otu Shabbos? And ultimately it seems from the end of the Gemara that this machlokas as to whether or not we should have this kind of a blanket analogy between Shabbos and Yom Tov depends upon the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. So it's only Beit Shammai who would say that Ein Bein Shabbos liYom Tov. So la'alocha then, if you were writing the Shulchan Aruch, you would paskin that on Shabbos you're allowed to take a bekas and use it l'smok bas hakadera. And why is that? Because, what do you say?
On Yom Tov.
No, on Yom Tov, for sure it's mutter, right? Because that's a davar shemalachta leheta, but on Shabbos it should be davar shemalachta leisur, which is mutter letzorech gufo. And the Gemara seems to assume that whether or not we equate Shabbos for Yom Tov, you're right, David, you were right and I was wrong. Yeah. So we want to suggest that you would not be allowed to move the bekas even on Yom Tov lismok ba es hakedera. Right, let's just make sure we got this right here. Ein Sochin is a Kedair Bibakas Biyantiv, right? And that's Xera Atu Shabbos. That's only according to whom? According to Beis Shammai. But if we pass in like Beis Hillel against Beis Shammai, which means we accept Mitoch, and therefore the mission of Ein Bain could not reflect the Shita of Beis Hillel, then there's no such thing as Gazrinon Yontif Atu Shabbos. Because again, the Mishnah of Ein Bain, the language of the Mishnah, doesn't tolerate the principle of Gazrinon Yontif Atu Shabbos. Because if that be the case, I'm sorry, the other way around, Ein Bain reflects Gazrinon Yontif Atu Shabbos. Okay, please note this. You know, I'm going to need you to help me on this. Why? Because Ein Bain tells me that whatever us on Shabbos is ipso facto us on Yontif. And that, the Gemara says, should be identified with the Shita of Beis Shammai, not Beis Hillel. There's no way that Beis Hillel could accept this equation between Shabbos and Yontif. So therefore, any heterim that we find on Yontif that we don't find on Shabbos would reflect the Shita Beis Hillel. We pass like Beis Hillel, and therefore, in the case of Bakas, you'd be allowed to use the Bakas Lismo Pas HaKeder on Yontif, because we don't have this Gzera of Yontif Atu Shabbos. So that's what he writes at the end of the paragraph with Bepashtus, with the Dan de Kaimelon Kebeis Hillel, Somchen Esadelis Bebekas on Yontif, V'chein Pirshu Rov Rishonim Ayin Tosis Rosh, Ritva Uberishonim Bebeitza, Ulam. And this is the question that we started with at the beginning of this year. Hey, Iru Arishonim, the Tosis Rosh and the Ritva, the Zeneged Sugya Sagamar Bebeitza, the Mavuar, what we'll see in the Sugya Beitza, is the Taima, the Asur Lismok Bebekas, Lefishalo Nitnu, Eitzim El Lasoka. So we're both like, that's where we're going to stop. And what I think we should do is, and if Ben, you could help me out with this, we're going to need a photocopy of the Daf in Beitza on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. So you can just photocopy Beitza Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, and if you have time now during Chavrusa to look it over, because that's really where we have to start tomorrow. What does it mean when it says that the only reason why you can't use a makas on Yontif is because lo nitnu eitzim el lasaka? What does that mean? Is that the same as Gazrina Yontif Atu Shabbos? It sounds like it's a whole different line of reason. Okay, then I wish everyone a meaningful fast.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.